Now this morning I want to continue on the series Love, or the 40 Days of Love. I want to look at Love is Not Easily Angered, part 2. Now I want you to come alongside me and just help. Can you remember what are the first 3 points? What's the first one? Anyone can remember? What's the first thing you do to overcome anger? Anyone like to try? Don't be shy. It starts with R. Six R. Okay, what's the first one? You resolve to manage your anger, right? You resolve to control your anger. And what's the second one? Huh? Remember the cause. Thank you, Alvina. Now, what's the third one? Huh? Reflect, right? Now, that's good, right? So I'm going to talk about the fourth and the fifth and the sixth this morning. But before that, let's just come to God in prayer. Let's just be still and let's just come before Him. Father, we want to come this morning. We want to give You thanks for Your word, for worship that we can bring to You. Lord, we are made, Lord, to worship. And Lord, we just want to live in that purpose, Lord. And God, we want to worship You with our songs. We want to worship You, Lord, with our life. And this morning, as we want to learn about anger, how we can manage it, that it is a blessing, it is Your gift to us. And we also want to learn how to use anger appropriately, how to put it in its place, oh God. We pray that You shape us. We all have some struggle with anger, some more, some less. We pray You teach us, Lord, to manage it, Lord, so that it will glorify You, so that we would manage anger just as You did, Lord, when You walked on this earth. So we surrender, we pray that You speak to us. In Jesus' most precious name, amen. Now, we talk about the first 3 points. In the PowerPoint, we have all the 6. But let me tell you what are the 4th and the 5th and the 6th. And I hope I can remember it too. Because when I tried, I struggled with it a little bit. So I will just tell you what are the... I will read it to you. Now, the 4th is this. The 4th is release my anger appropriately. The 5th is repattern your mind. And the 6th is rely on God's help. Now, what you read in your devotion will give you a good idea where we're coming from. But I have put in a bit more to it. And I want you to just come alongside me and hear what I want to share with you this morning. Now, we look at the first 3, resolve to manage it. So what you do when you want to control anger, you have made up in your mind that you will not get angry easily. The second thing that you do is that you want to remember the cost, that whenever we lose temper, we will always lose. There are a lot to pay for. Now, the third is reflect before you react. Meaning, if you are, right, before you get angry, you don't speak so quickly. You slow down, you think about it, you ask, why am I angry? Right? Remember that? What am I angry with? And then what do you do next? You ask, what do I really want? How can I get it? Now, what I want to do at this point of time is I want to ask a volunteer. Can I ask a volunteer who has got someone who has got angry before? No? No one has got angry before? Oh, you are good. Huh? Ryan. Come, Ryan. Now, we're going to see whether he remembers, okay? Maybe we don't let him look at that, okay? No, but don't worry, I'm not going to test you up. I'm going to ask Ryan to help me a little bit. I'm going to give him a situation, and now we're going to apply what we have learned on the reflecting part. Now, Ryan has just heard someone's gossip about him. Someone said this, you know, that he was going out with a few girls at the same time. This handsome guy, but I'm sure he doesn't know. He's a good boy. He's a good Christian, amen?
Amen.
But we just want to just draw a scenario. He is, right? Amen. Now, so someone has gossiped him, and that person is Sheng La. See? Sheng, why you talk like that? So Sheng was gossiping about him. And I want you to just imagine, You're not cool anymore. You're angry. You says, you're angry. Say, I'm angry.
Angry.
More, a bit more emotion.
Angry, you know? Angry.
No. He sounds like a wrestler. Don't go too near to him. Now, what should you do? Right, Ryan, what should you do if you're going to apply the reflecting part?
To Shang?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what you're going to do. Are you going to drive a car and bang him down? Or you want to chang-up him? Or you want to, gossip back about him? What are you going to do? How would you respond? You're angry now.
Oh, I'm angry.
How do you feel about him now?
I don't cool down yet.
Not yet, you're still angry.
I don't know.
You angry?
You like confront him or something.
You want to confront? You want
just like fart in his face or something, you know?
Oh, what was the last one he said?
Fart in his face or something.
Oh, fart in his face. Stay far from him, right?
Oh, I'm joking. Okay. I still love you, bro.
Okay. You better be careful, okay? Now, if you're going to apply this, reflect before reacting, what would you do?
Take time to think about the situation and, you know, not jump to conclusions about it, but, you know, listen to his part of the situation and see what he has to do.
So cool, man.
See what he has to say about it.
Now you go back home, it's eating you. It's not going away. Shang comes to your mind. Shang. I got 3 girlfriends, 4, 5, this guy, big mouth, and yeah. I remember last time he did that to me also. 5 years ago, I remember that. So Shang. Maybe I go to his flat now. Now, what are you going to do?
Confront him.
Immediately?
No, not really. I mean, take the time to do it, I guess.
Okay, now, let's ask this question. Why are you angry?
Because he was gossiping about me. I mean, it's a natural reaction for us human beings to just react in anger because, you know, someone said something that's not true about you.
That's a long one right now. In one word, why are you so angry?
Why am I disappointed?
Disappointed, right? He's disappointed. Now, the second question we ask is, what do you want?
All right. I'll speak in my angry part first, and then I'll cool down, and then I'll speak in my relaxed part.
No, I want you to cool down, and now you're cooling down a little bit. What do you want?
I want to talk to him about it.
Is that what you really want?
Yes.
Think about it. Is that what he really want? Think about that. So this is where we want to learn to practice. What does he really want? Huh? Regain your
reputation.
Regain your reputation is what you want. See, this is where we want to clarify. What you want is not to approach him. That is secondary. Right? Remember, the first thing is his, when he's angry, that is a secondary feeling. The primary feeling is he is deeply disappointed. And what does he want to do? He wants to regain his reputation. Otherwise, the whole church will look at him and say, "Oh, chico, this guy, jin hiao oh." He doesn't understand. It's okay. I mean, people will talk bad about him, right? Now you know what you want is reputation. The third thing you ask is, how do I get it? So we are very clear. What we want is reputation. It's not to get equal with him. Not to pull Shang aside and say, "Look at me, I'm big, man. I'm going to trash you." No, right? So he wants his reputation. Now, how do you get your reputation back? What are you going to do to get it back?
Well, I guess I just have to show in my actions that what he says isn't true, you know, because I could say that I am not a playboy or whatever that he said I am, but, you know, it might not mean anything, but unless I show it and act out and live that way, then only I can clear my reputation.
Yeah, so he can put it into the right energy, right? Put it in the right focus. Of course, there may be a need for you to go to him, right? Shang, jaga you. No, but yeah, so he's correct. Reputation, and he wants to regain it back and to live a life that is pleasing to God, and people says he's a good guy. Let's give him a big clap, right? Thank you, Ryan. Thank you so much. Now, what we want to see is very simple. It's not a very complicated task. But of course, let me say this. When we are angry, not so easy to apply. When you're angry, you forget about these rules. But let me say this, it is something, if we keep applying it, we get better at it. How many of you remember when you were younger, when you first studied mental sum, that you were really good at it? How many of you were like that? Oh, a few of you are very good. How many of you love mental sums? Jane wasn't very sure. How many of you love mental sums? A few of you, huh? How many of you don't like it, huh? Oh. The rest, what happened? You're not so sure. I remember when I was doing mental sum when I was a small boy. I hated it. It was difficult. Somehow it just doesn't get in, you know. But you have to study. You study. I remember my father would say, you know, I'm very scared of my father. If I hear my father's coming, his car is loud, he come back. When we are flying kite, we'll throw our kites and we'll dash back, pretend we are studying. That's how fearful we were of him. So he would say, you better study your mental sums. Oh, so tremble, study. But still cannot get in, you know. But as I look back, I tried for many years. It was not so bad. It improved and improved. Today, you ask me mental sum, I can still tell you, not so good. But I think I can figure out what is the answer now. For some reason, if you have never been good, but today, you'll be able to say 6 times 3 is what? Good thing you said 18, right? So 4 times 4 is what? You can tell me already, most of you are good. But when you were a small boy, very difficult. Now, I want to say this, in reflecting before reacting, if we practice these 3 steps, we keep practicing it, it's like mental sum. We get better and better at it. After a while, it becomes a natural reaction. So we want to learn to cultivate that. We want to learn that. But let me go on to the next, the fourth one. Eh? Now, the next thing that we want to learn after we have reflected is we need to learn how to release my anger appropriately. Say with me, release my anger appropriately. Now, we need to learn to manage that. Release it properly. Eh? Now, Aristotle said this. Eh? He said, anybody can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person to the right degree at the right time for the right purpose and in the right way, that is not within everybody's power. It is not easy. Now we can identify with that. It is not easy. The right time, the right place, the right degree, the right purpose. It sounds too difficult. But we want to learn it nonetheless because that's what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:26. When you are angry, do not sin. Right? There's nothing wrong with anger. Remember, it is God's gift to us. But if we do not manage it, we express it wrongly, it becomes a sin. So Ephesians says that do not sin when you are angry. Do not let your anger continue before the sunset, right? Now release. So we need to learn to release it. Now in learning to release it, we must ask this. We must realize there are a few wrong way of releasing our anger. Now the first is this. Right? The first is stuffing it. The second is spewing it. The third is licking it, actually. Yeah, you lick it out. You let it lick out. Now, let me tell you what these are. Okay? When we say we stuff anger, it means we are saying I must not show anger or be angry because anger is bad. So what we do, we keep it all inside us. We stuff it. Right? Our action would be we stuff, we avoid, we pretend that we're not angry. We repress it and we suppress it. And we all can identify this a little bit here and there. Now the reaction is we deny feeling, right, angry. We bury, we hide it, we pretend that we're not angry. So what would happen to us? The result is this. We grow out of touch with our emotion. Listen to me on this. If we stuffed it, after a while we grow out of touch with emotions. Meaning, we can lose not just the bad emotions, but we lose also the good emotion. We can lose the love, right? For our loved one, we keep keeping it, and after a while, we say, how come I don't feel anything for my spouse anymore? Why am I not feeling anymore? It's because we suppress it. So as a result, the feelings go away. We kill every feeling. We harden our hearts in that sense. So we need to be careful. This is not the right response to anger. Now the next is we spilled it. Right? Spewing it is what we say is like a skunk. We let everything out. We say anger is necessary, right? And we say to the person, it is your fault. Right? And therefore we become explosive. We control people with our anger. We are uncontrolled ourselves. We become manipulative with our anger. And what are some of the acts when we are angry? We slam the door. We kick. We yell, right? So we do all sort of things. We become hostile. The extreme example of spewing or even stuffing is when people take a gun and go out and just shoot at people. Now that's an extreme example. It is a wrong, threatening manner that we do it to innocent, not just the person that have hurt you. Now those are extreme danger, right? Of course, the result is damage. Relationship, emotional distancing. We talked about last week. We talked about this alienating from our children become alienated from us. If we keep spewing it, they will become far from us. So we need to watch out. We cannot use stuffing, spewing, and that's the third one, leaking. Now leaking, it basically says it is too dangerous to express anger directly, right? So you are showing anger. So we think showing anger is bad. We become passive. Right? Indirect power. And what we do is we use cold war. We don't talk to the person. But what is happening is, it is leaking out. It is coming out. Right? And we also end up sometimes gossiping. Right? We talk about the person. We may not want to confront the person, but we talk behind his back. We backstab the person. Now, those are dangerous, unhealthy. It damages relationship too. Right? So we need to understand there are times. Right, there are wrong responses to anger. Right, when this happens, it is a sin. The Lord is not pleased. The Lord is hurt by such reaction. Now, but there is what we need to learn is appropriate response. We need to respond in this way. Now, in appropriate response, there are two things that we need to understand at least at this point of time. Now, there are times that we are angry for the wrong reason. Now, what if you have slowed down, you're reflecting. You say, "Hey, I'm angry. Why am I angry?" And you realize it is this: you're angry for the wrong reason. You're angry because you feel jealous. That person is doing better, right? We do that sometimes. Other wrong reason is we are proud. Someone says something to us. We become defensive, then as we think about it, we realize it is because of pride. Sometimes it is selfishness. If we are very selfish, we say, "Hey, why did I do that? You know, why am I thinking about myself all the time?" What do? Do you go to the person and confront the person? In this case, definitely no. What you need to do is, you go before the Lord, you confess before the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive you, and you deal with your sin. Right? You deal with that emotion. Remember, anger is a secondary feeling. There is a primary feeling, the main feeling. Why are you feeling angry? If that main reason, right, the primary feeling is a sinful reason, for example, jealousy, then we need to bring it to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm sorry about it. I realize why I'm angry is because I'm actually jealous of this person who's driving a bigger car than me. I see it, I besong in my heart, you know. I'm not happy in my heart." So become angry. Right? So that can happen. So we need to learn then to confess and let it go. If you want to go to the person, it will be to say sorry to the person. But if you have not hurt the person but is angry inside, then what you need to do is let go. And says, "I should let go in this case. I should not keep the anger with me." Right? Is that all right? Are you still with me? Yeah? Now the second appropriate response is when the anger is for the right reason. Right, just now Ryan says, you know, someone gossip about him. And that's a right reason to be angry. If Ryan doesn't become angry when someone gossip about him, then something wrong is with him. Either he's not bothered or he's really living such a life. Right? In this case, obviously he's not. Then he should be concerned. He should be angry about it. And what does he need to do if it's the right reason? The first thing to do is go to God, pray, confess it before the Lord. He says, Lord, I am hurt by the gossips. I'm hurt when my boss shortchanged me. I'm hurt when my boss didn't want to pay me my salary. I'm hurt when the person shouted at me and says, you are good for nothing. So we tell the Lord first. We don't want to respond to the person immediately, but we turn to the Lord and say, I'm hurt. God, I'm hurt. Would you heal me? Would you please help me? I'm really angry. I feel like I want to fight back. But Lord, that's not right. I ask you to help me, right? To deal with me first. If I need to speak to the person, you deal with me first, right? So that's what we do. We pray and then we release our feelings. Sometimes release our feeling is bring it to God. And sometimes it means this, remember this, is to bring it to a trusted person. Now, I want to say this carefully. When we say we release it to a person, it's not gossiping. Huh? And you go to someone who is not on the same board as you. You know what I mean? If you go to someone who is the same, you know, there's this saying that birds of the same feather flock together, right? And sometimes when we are hurt, we look for people who are hurt also. Now that's dangerous. Because when we look for people, we want people to sympathize. So what do? I go to someone who's hurting. And what happens when you do that? You're feeding your anger wrongly. The person says, yeah, wow, I'm also very angry. The last time I was angry, I go and I tumbok the person. Wow, you hear that? You also want to go and punch the person too. That's the wrong thing to do. So you got to be careful who you go to release those feelings. First to God, and if necessary, to another person that can help you. That's positive. Right? Someone who is positive, someone who says, hey, someone who may be even very honest with you and says, I think you're hurt because of your pride. Honest with you, not necessarily sympathize with you, but will be honest with you. So you want to go to the right person that will help you, right? And then when necessary, wherever necessary, communicate with the person that have hurt you, right? But there are times when we check, we says, hey, it is about me, I'm being petty. Then there's no need, then you have to deal with yourself. But if it's really something that's serious, someone that's hurt you, then you want to go to the person and communicate. But there are other cases when the person do not want to talk to you, and if you force yourself to talk to the person, you will explode the whole situation. Then I think it's wiser just to wait first and not go to the person, right? And of course, there are times you seek ways to redirect your emotions, right? People who are, like I shared last week, this woman's who, mothers whose children were killed in a road accident. What they do, they redirect their emotions. There's nothing they can do if they want to move on. So what they do, they redirect their emotions and shape the law in the country with regards to drunkard driving, right? So they redirect it properly. So we need to learn to do that too. We need to learn to communicate our feeling, right? How we are to do it. Now, I'm going to talk a bit more about how we are to communicate with people who have hurt us, how we are to approach them. Now, but before that, now this is how a healthy, appropriate anger looks like. You say, hey, I'm not so sure whether my anger is healthy. Sometimes when you're angry, it's where you're very clouded. You cannot tell whether it's right or wrong. I'm just angry. Cannot reason. Now, you want to know whether you are at the right anger? These are some of the tips to guide you. The first thing is you're quick to hear. You're quick to hear. Hear means you hear others, what they are saying exactly. You don't read in between the lines, but you learn to hear what the person is saying. And the second thing about hearing is you listen to your primary feelings. Say with me, primary feelings. Right? Meaning not just your anger, but what is causing the pain. That's the primary feeling. Right? And then next you listen to God. What is God saying to me? How does God want me to handle this? Right? Listen to God. Now another characteristic of a healthy anger is this. You are slow to speak. Remember it says you will pause. You will not be fast in speaking. You hold back and says, I'm angry, but I would hold back. I'll count 1 to 10. 1, 2, not 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 9, 9, 10, right? So we learn to count. We learn to speak slowly, are slow to speak. And of course, we are slow to anger. Right? We don't get angry so easily. And that is a sign of healthy anger. Now, the fourth thing is, when necessary, right, you would express it appropriately. Express or redirect it, having the right motives and methods. Right? Take note, motive is very important. Right? Now, the next step today is actually fifth, not sixth. Somehow, something has changed after that. You resolved it. Now, how do you resolve it? How would you resolve it? Okay, now let me share with you how, and from Ephesians chapter 4, 26 to 27, this is something that Chip Engram said. He says, it is okay to be angry, but it is not okay to befriend it. Say with me, it is not okay to befriend anger. Right? By this, I'm not saying you say anger is a sin, right? But I'm saying anger is meant to be a passing acquaintance, not a long time live-in companion. You don't want it to stay on. You don't want to welcome it and say, please stay with me longer. You want it to move on. It is okay to have it come by, but let it move on, right? Otherwise, it will allow the devil to have stronghold in our life. Now, in resolving conflict, right, let me give you tips from the same book, Dealing with Angers. It says, when we resolve conflict, now, I want you again here to pause. Imagine you have someone that you need to approach now. It could be your spouse. It could be a colleague. Now, this is what you need to do. You need, when you approach this person, if you could sit down and talk to him or her, you need to deal with the present issue. Is that okay? Not history. Don't go back to history and become a historian. Right? How many of you here love history? Don't put up your hand, okay? But just make sure you're not a historian in handling your problem. Okay? Now, the next thing you do is refrain from using words like always and never. Have you... you know, in a family, sometimes you hear, sometimes you forget to do something, or get angry. You always forget to switch off the switch one, right? You hear that? You always bang the car. Wow. You always slam the door. And then you say, are you sure I always? This is the second time, not always, you know? But when we are angry, the word always is somehow very attractive. Always, always. Now, the other word that we need to avoid when we're angry is never. Say it with me. Never. Don't use that. And you say, you never help me in the house chore one. Wow. I thought yesterday I helped you sweep the floor. Oh yeah. I meant, you know, sometimes you don't help. But then say sometimes. Don't say never. Right? Because we, you know, when you do this, the person will react, you know. You tell the person, you never help. You never give me ideas. The person will, if he has been helping you, giving ideas in your work, what would he do? He would jump back and say, what do you mean, never? Just last week, I gave you some ideas. You know, people will react when you say always or never in a conflict situation. So we're going to be very careful, avoid that. Now, examine yourself, your motives. And what's the next one? Mood. If you have a tendency of being more temperamental, watch for your mood. Right? When are you easily angered? Be careful. You know, one of the time I get angry easily is this. When I'm sleeping, don't disturb me. Right? So there are times my children would, in the morning, they will open the door, bang, open the door. I will get up and say, why you do that? I'll get angry. Then I realize, hey, why am I so angry? Then I need to cool off, you know? Because it's not, sometimes they make mistakes. But we need to watch out of our mood. Right? All of us here have mood. And some more, some less. So ask your neighbor, are you a moody person? Huh? If you are, then be careful. Examine your mood and your feeling. Now control your temper. Don't raise your volume unnecessarily. Now try, right, to understand the other person's positions and feelings. Now, can I say this? This may not happen all at the same time, but these are just good guides, okay? If we can do this all at one time, you can be a consultant for anger management. Right? But these are good guides, right? Now use I words rather than you statement. Don't say you are, you are. You always like that, you always like that. But says I am hurt. I want you to hear me. And I clarify, if I'm not wrong, I'm hearing you, that you are hurt. Right? Don't just say you are hurt. But say the word, use I a bit more. Right? Stick to the issues and don't attack the other person's character. Right? Have you experienced before when you are trying to talk to someone, they get angry, they says, you are so rude. But I thought we are talking about something else. Why are you bringing other issues in? You're attacking the person's character. Avoid that. Now, this is important. Listen. Say with me, listen. Be quick to listen. Listen and listen and listen. Right? If you do that, it helps tremendously. Remain open-minded. Don't make statements that negate any possible response that trap, corner, box, or hem the person in. Assume innocence until proven guilty, rather than vice versa. Now, more often we start with you're guilty, then prove yourself innocent. I think that's the wrong way, right? Now, the other one is be aware of the surroundings and those nearby and do so privately as possible. Stick to the content of the argument, not the process or the person. Now, after the incident, don't recount it to others in an effort to gain allies, right? You're not forming an army. Now, be willing to compromise where it is possible. Be willing to admit weaknesses and mistakes and to say, I am sorry. Now, this is probably the most humbling and most difficult, right? Able to say, I'm weak. I'm so sorry about it. I made a mistake, right? Now, those are things that I want you to remember. Now, I want to get another... Maybe I can get another volunteer. Let's just do this quickly. Can I have a sister that can help me in this? That's a sister. No one? No one? I want to try the adults maybe. Lauren, would you like to come up? Lauren, come. Lauren. Now, we're going to ask Lauren right? Now, we're going to check whether this is the right one first or not, okay? Check, and it says, is it a right emotion? Now, Lauren, you are angry with Stephen. And you are just angry. You're not so sure why. He knows why, huh? Now, you are angry. And as we talk, you realize... you're angry that he didn't know a few things about you. But you didn't want to tell him, but you expect him to know. Has that happened before?
Yes.
I'm sure it has happened before. Now, tell us, why are you angry? Just imagine. No, this is not a real situation.
Maybe because... so insensitive, he doesn't know.
Okay. So that's the reason why. Now, What do you want?
What do you mean, like?
What do you want in this anger? No? If you're going to approach him about it, what are you trying to get at?
That he should make more effort to find out or something. Yeah.
Okay. He should be more sensitive, and then he will be see you. Are you okay? So something like that. Stephen, you hear that? Now the third question that we're gonna ask is, Lauren, how do you think you can get to that goal of, you know, that he's more sensitive to you?
I guess I could. Well, usually if this happens, which happens quite often,
I wish.
I would actually.
Good thing she didn't say always.
Cannot use the word always.
Usually
I would tell him like, this is how I feel, and next time can you please make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, listen, next time cannot happen again.
Okay. So you will actually confront Stephen about it?
Yeah, I will tell him like what I didn't like or what I...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Now, so that is a possible scenario. Now, I'm going to take it a step back. Okay, if I'm talking to Lauren, if she says I'm going to release it, I pretend I'm a lady pastor in skirt. Says, Lauren, the second question is, what are you trying to get at? I would prop her in this. I'll say, Lauren, is that a realistic expectation? Right?
No.
If it's a realistic expectation, I say, then you need to confront and talk about it. Not confront me, not punch him out, but talk to him. But if it's not a realistic one, it says, then it may mean that Lauren need to probably lower the expectation and realize. Of course, this is a scenario. I really do not know what has happened in their life, okay? But if Lauren, that I says, hey, Lauren, if that's not the right expectation, then what is happening is you may be finding the right or the wrong place to meet that expectation, because only God can meet certain expectation. But of course, if it is very clear, your handsome one really has been ignoring you, now that's where we will have to say, Stephen, can you please come up here? We talk, right? But of course not, right? I mean, they're good husband and wife. They are on a journey. The first, second year, third year is always full of excitement, full of fire, good sense of the word, right? Right. So, Victor, very loud, Victor. So those are things that we want to work, all right? So, and then, of course, when you talk about the practical, there are certain things. How are you going to approach him?
How?
What's the first thing that you now you're gonna plan in your mind? How am I gonna approach Stephen? What will you do?
I try to calm down first.
Calm down first. Very good. What's the next step? Now you know what you are feeling. Why are you feeling that way?
I calm down first, and then I will. I mean, if I've already been angry with him, then I ask him, do you know why I was angry? And if he says, no, then I explain to him. And then if I knew that my expectations were not, reasonable or, made sense, I would tell him that I'm sorry that I also expected too much from him.
That's the right thing to do, right? Hey, why don't we give Lauren a big clap? Thank you, Lauren. Right? Let me say this, I'm just guessing here, I happened to pick Lauren, but I know they're a wonderful couple, God's blessing is in their life. But sometimes in our marriage, we need to work some of these things out. Sometimes we need to realize we need to be careful with our words, right? How we approach, make sure we are slow in speaking out, make sure we are constructive. The word, so I think you're feeling that way, is very important. Now, let me move on to the fifth one. Right? I just want to do a bit of practical so that you know sometimes how in the real world it happens. It's not always straightforward, but it can be worked out. Now, the fifth is repattern your mind to manage our anger. Say with me, repattern your mind. Now, repattern your mind, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Turn to your scripture. It says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, the word transform and renewal, especially renewal of your mind, means, it's very interesting. Transform, renewal here means change, not of action, but change of your mind. Meaning you need to repattern your mind in order to conquer anger, negative anger, right? Feelings always follow thinking. If you think negatively, you will feel negatively. And especially if you, after you experience anger, the secondary feeling, remember, if you continue to think wrongly, you won't get it correct too. So you need to know what you are feeling, and you need to know why, what are you thinking. Now, when we, often when we realize our sin, we always repent of our acts, but we fail to repent of our wrong thoughts. But here, if you read Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it also says wrong thinking. We need to repent. Transformation means we turn away. Right? We are being changed. We repent from wrong thinking. So we need to do that. We need to turn away from wrong thinking and ask God to forgive us. You know, there is this word that that we all follow, what would Jesus do? WWJD. But before we say what would Jesus do, we should ask, what would Jesus think? What would Jesus think exactly? Now, I think that is an important, right, so that we understand how Jesus thinks. But let me say this, when we talk about what would Jesus think, is not by pure imagination, but rather it is by knowing the Word of God. We know the Word of Jesus. The Word of Jesus transformed my life. And I know, right, the Word of God, so it is changing us. It is shaping our thinking, our mind, right? Now, in a conflict situation, for example, if we know the Word of God, right, I'm screaming, I'm angry with someone, the Word of God, if I have it, will change me. It says, do unto others what you want others to do unto you. Now, that is a conflict situation. You're about to shout at someone, but you remember the scripture. It says, don't, unless you want people to shout at you. So that's how the scripture shapes us, right? So it is very practical, the Word of God. And of course, we need to trust the Father. We live for God. You know, there was a point of time in my life, and I was angry. I was not just angry with anyone, I was angry with God. I remember, for some reason, I struggled. I was angry. I said, God, I try so hard. Why do you give me this? How many of you experience anger with God? We have, you know, most of us would have quietly. But sometimes we say God is always right. So we don't admit it, but we dare to admit it. We would realize we do get angry with God. I think God can accept our anger, but God would want us to learn. Now, when I begin to struggle with that, one of the words that come to me in my devotion was when I read A Purpose-Driven Life. Not at the same time, but after that, when I experienced anger, when I read this book, Purpose-Driven Life, remember the part on worship, it says this. It says, God, right, created us to worship Him. And that means I am made for God, not God for me. I am to live for God, not God for me. Then when I realize that, it says, if God doesn't do it, but I'm living for Him, should I be angry with God? It should not, because I'm living for God, not God for me. If I think God is living for me, then I fall into what we call consumerism. We think, you know, we ask God, I say, God, please give it to me. I ask so hard prayer, you should give it to me. I twist God's arm. And that is when we think God lives for us. But if we believe God is whom we live for, then we learn to surrender our life. He says, I'll not be angry so easily, God. I will learn to trust you completely. Right? Now, there is a story of Great Depression time. During the communist time, when China was very strong in its communism, there's this story of a man. He was packing crates for clothes and to send to an orphanage in China. So he was putting clothes in, and finally everything was packed, they sent it off. And then he realized he has lost his glasses. Now in those days, you know, glasses cost a lot because this is a great depression time. They hardly, it cost $20. He had just bought it, and it's very difficult to get another one. So he couldn't see clearly, and he began to grumble. He says, I have been faithful in giving my time and money to you, to your work, and now this. And he was angry with God. He was angry. And then several months later, the director of the Chinese orphanage was on furlough, meaning Sabbath, in the States. So this Chinese orphanage person in church came. He came to speak one Sunday night at the gentleman's church. The person who lost his glasses was angry with God. And the missionary thanked the people for their faithfulness and generosity in supporting the orphanage. Very interesting, then he added this. He said, but most of all, I want to thank you for the glasses you sent last year. Remember, he dropped it into the box, right? He said, I thank God that you sent the glasses last year. Right? It says, you see, the communists had just swept through the orphanage, destroying everything, including my glasses. Even if I had the money, there was no way to replace those glasses. Along with not being able to see, I was experiencing headaches every day. My co-workers and I were much in prayer about this. Then your crates arrived and my staff removed the covers. They found a pair of glasses lying on the top. When I tried them on, it was as if they had been made for me. The people in the church were confused. They had sent no glasses to him. But sitting in the back of the church with tears streaming down his face, the grandfather realized the master carpenter had used him in an extraordinary way. Now that's learning to trust God, knowing that God is in charge at all times. We learn to trust Him, right? And we want to learn to focus. When we trust Him, when we learn to think like Jesus, we also focus on the right thoughts. Rick Warren wrote in a short article, I received that email, maybe the second time. In this article, he talks about his wife struggle with cancer. But there was this part I want to share with you. And he said this, he says, in life, he says, I used to think life is hills and mountains, you know, valley and mountains. Right? There are tough times, there are times that are good. But it says, then I realized it is not so. It is not true. It says life instead is like a railway, two railways side by side. One is coming, one is going. You've been to Singapore, the MRT, there's always two. Right? One is going towards Orchard, for example. The other one is going away from Orchard. It says life is like that. It says life, there will always be good things in life. One direction, good things will always happen at all time in your life. There will always be something to give thanks for. But at the same time, simultaneously, there is always the opposite one, the bad things that happen. Both at the same time, he said. And I thought about that, that's true. He says, there will always be good and bad. But the difference for one whose mind is repatterned by God is when he, what he chooses to think about. He says, the one who chooses to focus on the good things is the one who's repatterned by God in his mind. And in this case, he was saying that he focused on the fact that whatever happens on this earth is God is preparing him for eternity. God is more concerned about his character than his happiness, because that's eternity. God wants to prepare for that. The happiness is temporarily, but God is more concerned about his character. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. If we allow God to reshape our mind, this is how we will begin to think. Two things happening, bad and good. Which one would you focus on? Which one would you? Now, some of you here have struggled and you have dreams and you have hope. You have tried this, you prayed this. It has not happened. Would you choose to look at what God has given you? The positive things and focus on that and says, God, you're shaping me. These are these good things. I want to give you thanks. Amen? Amen? So allow God to reshape your mind. Now let me come to the last point. Rely on God's help. Say it with me. Rely on God's help. Now this is the last. The first that we look at is resolve to manage it. Remember the cause. Reflect before reacting. Release my anger appropriately. Repattern your mind. And lastly, rely on God's help. Now it is in Romans chapter 15 verse 5, it says that encouragement, perseverance come from God. It comes from God. And we need to learn to realize if we are to overcome negative responses to anger, we need to rely on God. Right? And relying on God is very simple. It is just this. You need to ask this question. How is your relationship with God? Right? If we are to rely on God, it means we have a good and close relationship with Jesus. But if you are far from Jesus, it's not going to make a lot of difference. Right? You will struggle. Right? But if you're near to Jesus, it makes a huge difference. God will be your help. God will be your strength. God will transform your mind. God will guide you. You know, When I was in Dallas last year, we did a medical checkup. We went for medical and we did a medical talk. And it's very interesting. They have a medical check. They check your cholesterol there and there. And I found out that my cholesterol still remained above the limit. So I said, not so good. So, and then after that, we are ushered to listen to the medical talk. At the medical talk, they talk about heart attack, cholesterol. It says if you walk, you get tired. You feel pain on your leg and you sit down, you stand up, the pain is gone. He said, that is blockage of blood vessels at your leg. I said, wow, so serious. And then lo and behold, there was this guy, Indian pastor. He said, I just experienced that. Oh, he got a shot of his life after they called the wife. Now that's sidetracking a little bit. But then I asked this question. I says, doctor, what are the ways to bring down your cholesterol? And he said this very interestingly. He says, one of them is exercise regularly. How many of you here exercise on a regular basis? Very good, right? So I also exercise at least 3 times a week, I said, then doctor, what's the point of me exercising if my cholesterol level after exercise still like that? Then in his wisdom, in his politeness, he said, that's a good question. And he said this. He says, if your cholesterol is this high when you exercise, can you imagine if you don't exercise? What is your cholesterol like? And I thought about it, that's true, right? It makes sense, right? I can keep at this because I exercise. If I don't, it will be worse. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. Some of us here still struggle with anger. Says, but I walk with God, but how come doesn't I'm not overcoming it? Then I want to say this to you. Imagine if you don't walk with God. It will be far worse. But God is not done with you. God is still shaping you. God is still using some of this challenging situation to shape you till you learn how to control your anger and other areas in your life. So God is going to shape you. God will work with you. Right? So we need to understand that God is constantly working with us as long as we walk close to Him. But if you have a roller coaster relationship with God, one day you love God, another day it says, I'm bored with God, I don't want to know God. Now that's not a close relationship with Jesus. Right? A close relationship is a consistent intimacy with Jesus. You're walking with Jesus. You learn to, you start the day with the Lord, and through the day you learn to invite Him into your days. At the end of the day, you remember Him. You pray. So there is God in your life. That's what we are talking about. Right? We want to grow towards that. Right? People who walks in the presence of God, who is connected to God. Right? I'm not saying that you're always praying, but you are prayerfully, you're prayerful in your heart, you're conscious of God more and more. Right? So if you're still the same 5 years ago and today you're still the same, it means there is room to grow. There's room to grow, right? We want to grow closer to the Lord. Now, God will do a heart transplant. Now, recently, I was talking to a brother who has struggled with the area of anger, resentment. And this brother has experienced divorce, and he has just become a Christian, and he has crossed. He knew the Lord for a while, but recently he has crossed the line. He says, I want to be a Christian. I want to be baptized. Right? So he's talking about baptism. And then in this, I talked to him. I says, how's your relationship with, you know, we talk about, are you still angry with what has happened? And he says, I was very angry. He says, I could not sleep. I could not forget the hurt that was inflicted. I was guilty. I said, I feel guilt. And he was angry. He says, the anger just doesn't go away. I try very hard. He says, I try to get away from the anger, but it keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. It was a vindictive anger, he said. And I said, how about now? He says, today I'm set free. He says, today the anger is gone. I said, what happened? He says, I was asked by my care group leader to go and be prayed for. He says, when my care group leader asked me to go to be prayed for, he says, I was reluctant. I didn't want to go. And in fact, when the care group leader found out he didn't turn up to be prayed for, I caught him and found out he was asleep. So he says, you better come. So he made an effort to come after the second call. He came, he was being prayed for. And and when he was being prayed for, the person praying for him says, would you release the anger? Would you release your ex-wife? Would you release the resentment? And he says, I struggled. But when I finally stopped wrestling with God, I finally surrendered to God, and I finally spoke out the words, I release every anger. He says, for that moment in my life, the whole weight went off. He said, God healed me. He says, today, for strange reason, he says, I don't feel the anger anymore. I still remember, but I'm not angry anymore. I can move on in my life since then. Now, I think that's God's victory, God's work in this person's life. And this is what it means, heart transplant. When we rely on God, God will do a heart transplant. David in Psalm 51 says this, create in me a new heart. Create in me a new heart. And today, I want to just leave this message and ask you to take this message as you think about it. Resolve to manage it. Remember the cost. Reflect before you react. Release your anger appropriately. Repattern your mind. And lastly, rely on God's help. I want to ask you to close your eyes as we come to the Lord in prayer. Will you ask the Lord to shape your mind this morning? Would you surrender this morning your anger and say, I have been angry? Maybe some of you have been hurt badly in the past. Maybe by your parents. Maybe by your brothers or sister. Maybe the words someone has said to you has, it felt like a dagger into your heart, and you have not been able to let go. The Lord wants to say to you this morning, would you let go? Would you allow me to heal? Maybe some of you here have been hurt by an employer or a colleague. Maybe, and you're angry still. The Lord is saying, would you release it to me? I believe there's some of us here who have been hurt because of financial issue. It is painful, you feel injustice, you're angry. But you let go of that too. The Lord is saying, would you let me heal you? You let me work in your life. I want to invite you to stand as we pray. Just come to the Lord. Just surrender ourselves this morning. Would you come to the Father? Would you bring this pain, this anger, resentment? Would you put it on your hand? Would you take it up and put it into the Lord's hand? The Lord is stretching out His hand to you. And He says, would you let me take it and put it on the cross, nailed it on the cross? Because on the cross, you'll find healing. On the cross, I bear every sins. On the cross, I've been shamed. I've experienced the anger, the hatred of man and woman. On the cross, I took every of this hatred, every of this resentment. I knelt it there. I paid for every sins, so that you can have a new heart, so that you can be renewed, a new person. Would you surrender it to the Lord? Would you pass it on to the Lord in your mind? Would you just, in your heart, pass every anger, if there deep anger, would you pass it to the Lord and let the Lord take it? And would you receive something in return? His love, His blood that heals the wounds, the deepest wound. Will you let His blood flow into you in that sense? Father, this morning, as we stand before you, some of us here are hurt, we are angry. It pains inside our heart, we do not want to let go. Some of us have expressed anger wrongly. We have fought, we have broke relationship because of wrongly expressed anger. Lord, we are sorry, and we want to surrender to you. We want to learn to manage our anger. We want to learn to express it appropriately. Allow you to reshape our mind. Would you be our help? Would you heal us, Lord, for the hurts we have experienced? Would you heal us? Give us a new heart. Would you also reconcile where we have burned relationship? People who have hurt because of wrong words used. Lord, would you heal those guilt? Would you build those bridges again? Because relationship is of great value to you. So we surrender to you. We invite your Spirit to come. Work in us. Shape us, Lord. You are victorious. Nothing is impossible. We allow you to work in us. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' most precious name. Amen.